Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. No!
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Well, all right. Welcome into Shock Therapy Live. I am Steve-O.
Dude.
That's Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Dude, I'm stoked for tonight. David Crowder.
Yeah.
Are you going?
Can't.
Oh, man.
I'm really... This takes priority. I am the
Little
official
League.
Scorekeeper for my son's team. I am not allowed to miss a game. Not allowed to miss a game.
So wait, what's the music?
This?
Yeah. How is this?
Come on,
how
this is baseball.
Little League?
What? It's baseball. Come on, center field.
I don't know this song. I've never seen maybe the
it's
Little
like
Leaguers.
Every baseball movie ever.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Put me in, coach. Come on.
I've never heard
I'm
that song.
I'm ready to play. You are not a baseball.
Never heard that
you
song.
Take your Angels hat off right now.
I should, just because of how bad the Angels are right now.
But we're not fair weather fans, Nate.
No, I'm 100% a fair weather fan. I mean, this is the thing. I love my team, and so watching baseball brings out the sin nature in me,
dude.
And so I decided last night. I said, okay. For the rest of April, I'm not watching baseball.
Yeah.
I just can't. I can't because I just know the Angels are going to continue to do bad. It's going to depress me. It's going to make me angry. My son is going to see me be a bad person, and I don't want him to see that.
That's true. You never want that. So if that's the case, then you're right. I could call you. I'll text you. If it's like the ninth inning and we're up like 8-2, I'll text you like, hey, you should put it on now so you can see us win.
Well, no, because I still check the scores on, like last night I turned the game on twice.
Yeah.
Like when I was like, oh, what? Their bases are loaded. The Angels have a chance. Oh, and I turned it on and, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I did. So. That's funny. I did that too. I turned it off and it was like, oh, because it was 4-8. And I was like, no. And then I checked the score, and it was 4-8, but then all of a sudden two were on, and Trout comes up, hits a double, and it was 6-8, and I'm like, oh, hurry, Pujols is coming up!
Yeah.
Oh, cool, grounder to short, just in time to watch the team lose. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. High five. So, anyways.
Yeah.
Speaking of issues, that's what Shock Therapy Live is for. If you have a question about something, give us a call, 505-338-3700. You can also email us if you'd like to keep it anonymous. That is studio@mystaticradio.com, or if you're so bold, Facebook it. And then everybody can kind of help out.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. I know we got a lot to get to from last week. It seems like every week the questions keep piling up and piling up. So, where do
did
you want to start?
Did we answer this one?
Yes.
We did?
We did. Yeah. No.
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Oh. Okay, maybe we didn't.
I don't think we
maybe
did.
Maybe it's just that I've read it.
Oh. I don't think we answered that one.
All right, let's answer it.
I have kind of like congestion going on.
Oh, dude, allergies killing me right now. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I feel better.
Do you have refrigerated air?
No, swamp cooler.
We just got a new place and it's got refrigerated air, and I was told you better get a humidifier because I guess like it's so dry. Because swamp cooler, you know, humidity and
My son woke up this morning sounding like Legion. Like, I just hear my son pitter-patter down the hall, and then I hear the demon. He goes,
so he's Gollum. That's good.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's a demon in my hallway. And I look up, and sure enough, there's Seth, so.
I really hope your mom's listening. Oh, man, you kill me.
No, it's true. Anyone who has kids, you know, like, my little baby girl, she's the most beautiful, pure, awesome, incredible human being, but she is evil. She is evil.
This is amazing. I was just reading an article. It's a new survey that discovered more than half of American couples would prefer to have boys than girls because they are, quote-unquote, less hard work. So we were going to do this for a topic tomorrow as to, you know, boy or girl, who's easier to raise.
I would say they're, quote-unquote, less evil. Like, I don't know. No, but that's not true because my son has a way deeper sin nature than my daughter does. But my daughter just like, she has that cute sin nature. You know what I mean?
Wow. I have boys, thankfully. Oh, I don't know. I know. I have three boys. They're wonderful.
Insane.
They're
so funny. And it's crazy to see how quick selfishness starts. The other day, we have Cadence, and I'm feeding her, you know, some baby food, and Seth sits down with, she doesn't even know what it is, and she looks at Seth's food, and just goes, and she gives this little face and screams, and I'm like, Cadence, eat your food. And she looks at me and just goes,
No!
And puts it away.
Oh, no! Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, man. See, you know
that's
what?
That's why our family does shed time. We tell our kids.
Will you
we
stop
say,
it? This is a serious
we say,
show.
Hey, okay, kids, it's shed time. You got to go in the shed. We make sure we always give them socks. We don't make them go out barefoot.
People are going to take you seriously. People are going to take you seriously.
Hey,
Pastor Nate Heitzig is obviously joking.
People, don't freak out.
I need a new disclaimer.
We give them spider spray.
Man, I need a new disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by Pastor Nate Heitzig are not necessarily, they are just flat out not the opinions of Static Radio, myself, or anybody else who has, you know, sane logic. So if you would like to ask a question to Pastor Nate, please do so.
We actually have an interesting question from Justin on line one.
Word.
You want to take it?
Yeah, let's go there, because I'm wondering if this is the same Justin who sends us emails.
Justin, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
I'm so excited to finally call in, because this whole semester I got into shock therapy, and I have a class every Wednesday at 9 a.m., so I've never been able to listen to this.
Oh, man.
I don't want to say your last name, but have you asked us questions, like, basically weekly?
Oh, you know who I am.
Yes! Okay, good. Good, good, good. We were excited because I got your email this morning about another question you had, and so I was like, rad, we're going to get to that. But
rad.
Let's see.
Okay, well, I wish I would have had a better question besides the one I emailed in because I wasn't expecting to call in, but now the question I have isn't that cool at all.
Oh, okay.
So I was raised Catholic, and now I'm not. But now I'm like, do I go to Calvary to get married and go to funerals now? Does Calvary do that?
Does Calvary marry people and have funerals?
Yeah.
People still get married and people still die.
Yeah, we sure do.
Yeah.
All right. I really wish I had a better question than that, but thank you guys. I've literally listened to every shock therapy on the podcast, so thank you guys for what you do.
Well, hey, if you die or get married, come to Calvary.
Hopefully I do one before the other. Thank you.
Thanks, Justin. Gosh, what did you like eat? All sugar this morning and take your meds. Like
it was a perfect question. It's like someone calls in, hey, do you guys do funerals or marry people? Yeah. Okay, cool. I've been looking for some place to die.
I can't even compose myself today. Wow. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Studio@MyStaticRadio.com if you would like to ask a question. We actually do have a serious question that was emailed into us from Anonymous.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got.
Anonymous says, okay, recently I found out that two of my greatest friends were actually drinking and doing drugs. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, here. Sorry. Say that again.
Two of my greatest friends were actually drinking and doing drugs. Don't do drugs. Don't have sex. It's bad.
There you go.
My first reaction was just to an overwhelming feeling of anger. I felt betrayed. I figured they were smarter than that to condescend to the level of participating in these kinds of activities. But it seems I was wrong. My friend is the grandfather of a faithful church elder, and my other friend...
Grandson?
No, oh, granddaughter.
Okay, I'm like, what?
Grandfather, that'd be funny.
That'd be weird. Grandfather of an elder. Wait, I'm sorry, what? Okay. We're 87.
Oh, man.
We like to party.
And my other friend is the son of the youth pastor who also plays drums for the church. I am not implying that just because their guardians are saved means that they are. But a sense of morality is at stake here. Mm. All along, I thought they were saved. I was seriously a slap in the face that stimulated a mixture of emotions. I know we all fall short of God's glory, but this is a case where they know it's a sin and continue to do it deliberately. I tried to convey my thoughts, but it's hard to be honest. I am afraid of my friendship with them will eventually fade, and if I try to do so, they'll invite me to join in their transgressions, and if not, I'll be ostracized. I guess my question really is, how should I, as a believer in Christ, react to the situation? What should my attitude be? A part of me is...
Burr.
burning with anger. And the other side of me feels sorry for them, their future, and their consequential fate. I don't know what to do or act upon this.
Those are all normal human reactions.
Yeah.
What's tough about this question is the heart behind it. I understand being frustrated, being shocked, feeling a sense of betrayal. Like, man, I feel betrayed. These people live like this, and they say that they are this way, and they're not. And sadly, that's kind of the face of Christianity today. The first thing you ask anyone who's not a Christian, or their typical response on Christianity or Christians is, hypocrite. That's the first thing you usually hear out of their mouths is, well, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They say that they're perfect and they're not. And, the thing to remember is this. I mean, he said it, that, all fall short of the glory of God. So you gotta come to a place where you're not, it's okay to be saddened by this. You need to not be shocked. Like, how could you? I would never. Because that's a scary place to be when you say, I would never.
Yeah.
Because we're all susceptible to sin. We are all susceptible to sin. What attitude should he have?
This is what I would say. These people from what you, the way you talk, it sounds like they're in some form of leadership or some form of serving at the church.
Yeah.
And that takes a deeper level to their sin and to their hypocrisy.
Right.
And so the Bible has a very clear way of addressing someone in sin. It says that you go to that person one-on-one, you confront them with their sin, you do so in love but in truth. So you go to this person, you talk to them, you confront them on this. If they don't heed you, you bring another person, maybe another one of your friends. And then if they don't heed you at that point, then you go to the church. Then you get the church involved. So what I do is I'd go to these people and I'd say, look, I love you, but I'd confront them on it and be honest with them. And if they don't heed that, bring someone else. And then if not, say, look, the next option is for either you to tell your parents or I'm going to tell your parents. So, you know, one or the other. And then go to their parents and then, you know, bring the church into it and let them deal with it. Because, again, these are kids.
And make sure it's not being a teenager. Make sure it is not overly emotional. Here's what you need to do. You need to first go read Matthew 18. That's where you find scripture on confronting your brother. You need to find scripture backing what you would like to talk to them about, whether it's drinking. I immediately thought of 1 Corinthians, drunkards, revilers, these, you know, who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Find some different scriptures to bring to them. But, again, bring it in love. Don't be overly emotional. Because the first thing is that's going to happen if you come to them and you're like, I just heard and I can't believe, the wall comes up. Whoop! Defense, wall. But if you come to somebody in love, say, dude, I love you, it kind of puts that guard down.
Yeah.
And so you definitely want to make sure you approach it in love. and it's okay to still speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
And be truthful and be honest with it. Because what you're saying is, well, I don't know if I want to confront, I don't know if I want to be honest because, you know, well, I'm worried they're going to walk away or I'm worried that they're going to try and drag me into it. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't confront, if you say nothing, you're basically condoning it. You're condoning it. If you know and you don't do anything about it, it's like, cool. Condoning, right?
Yeah. I would also say this. Don't make it about you when you talk to them.
Right.
I think that we have a tendency to make it about us. That, you know, I just feel and I thought this and
I
thought that.
Believe.
And why would you do this to me or something stupid like that. Don't make it about you.
Right.
Make it about what it's about. That these people are claiming to be Christians and they're defaming the name of Christ. You know, let it be about the pertinent topic at hand. Don't make it about you or something else.
There you go. Thank you so much for the email. If you would like to email us a question, studio@mystaticradio.com. We got that one. Boom.
This
Let's
one.
All right.
We haven't answered that one.
All right.
All right, we got another question sent from my iPad. It says, hey guys, being a teenager and having my hormones go crazy makes me have a question. The desire to have a wife to come home to and be intimate with is sometimes overwhelming. I understand that I am not yet mature enough to be in a relationship, but like I said before, I have a place in my heart that is ready for a wife. I also understand that I should be focused on what Jesus has done for me and that he can make my life fulfilling without a wife. How can I practically cope with my stupid teenage desires?
Here's the thing. Here's the first thing that I want to say this outright, anonymous iPad. I'm not belittling your question in any way, shape, or form. But I immediately giggled because I remember being a teenager and thinking, man, I can't wait to get married and have sex every day. I'm going to have a wife, and she's just going to be, like, hanging out, doing dishes, and
I'm going to
get home, and she's going to have the apron on. The apron's coming off. It's going to be crazy.
That's what I was just thinking.
And then what really happens is you walk in the door, and the baby's screaming, and you're like, hey, girl. And she's like, can you get the baby? I'm sorry. I'm cooking dinner, and I've got seven things going. Can you just grab it? And you're like, but the apron, you're not going to take that off? I'll get the baby. I'll go change him. This is my life, but it's Wednesday. No? All right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for catching that. So.
Oh man.
So here's the thing to not set yourself up for failure. When you get married, it's not magical, crazy sex land every single day. I know people think that, but you are setting yourself up for failure and a false reality that, you know, I like to call the wedding ring the not in the mood ring. Yeah, I took that from someone else. The wedding ring. You know how you have those mood rings? You know, and it like tells you what mood you're in, whether it's like angry or, you know, whatever it is. The wedding ring signifies the not in the mood ring.
Oh.
And yes. And so to think like that, to set yourself up with these high expectations of, man, I got to deal with the sexual temptation for a little while. But once I get married, all the sexual temptation will be solved because I'll just have sex all the time and it'll be fantastic. That does not solve the heart issue at hand. And the issue that he's asking for help on is this stupid teenage, what did he say?
Hormones.
The stupid teenage desires, these stupid teenage hormones. How can he control those, Nate? Youthful lust.
Man.
Right?
You know, we've talked about this to an extreme on shock therapy.
Yeah.
And it really boils down to accountability, to
self-control.
Consistent, and I would say, you know, we always say self-control, but I think that a lot of people try to have self-control, but they can't have self-control because they don't have the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
And so I think that a lot of people say, oh, I've just got to have self-control, and they're not having their quiet time, they're not having a actual permanent relationship with Christ. They're just going to church once a week and they say, I just got to have self-control.
Right.
But in reality, it's not something that you can solve. It's not something that self can solve. Self is the problem.
Right.
You've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up the cross and you've got to have a real relationship with Jesus. And when you do that, when you have a real vibrant relationship with God, check it out. Don't worry about who you're going to marry. Marry God. You know, have a relationship with Jesus like a husband and a wife, which is what the Bible says.
Yeah.
If you have an intimate relationship with Jesus, he's going to fill that void and those desires that are there that you have for a physical wife.
Yeah. Dude, couldn't have said it better. That's perfect. High five. Snap.
High five.
All right. Got to take our first break.
That was a super gay high five.
Wow. I was like with power and strength. There you go.
Oh,
man.
That was more manly.
Thanks. Thank you. And by that, you meant like that was a joyous, that was a happy high five, right?
No.
It's like, yay. Okay, sweet. We're going to take a quick break. Shock Therapy Live, more with Pastor Nate Heitzig and myself right around the corner. Static Radio.
Attention, Bible clubs.
Why do you get the megaphone? Why?
We want to kick it with you.
You have a loud enough voice.
I mean, we do.
I'm the one that's soft-spoken.
We want to hang out.
I deserve this.
We want to have lunch.
Give me the megaphone. You don't need it.
We want to hang out with you.
Are you kidding me?
We're fun.
Wow.
We're cool. So, Bible clubs.
You gotta be so loud.
Steve-O and Mitch, what's up? We want to hang out with you. We would really like to come to your school and rock some lunch.
And we want to give you tickets to the prom coming up.
And as an incentive, we're going to throw down some tickets to prom.
Yeah, I just said that.
So hit us up through email, studio@mystaticradio.com.
You're so loud.
And I'll read them and be like, sweet, I got an email.
Okay.
Okay, have at it. Do whatever you're going to do.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, that was so obnoxious.
Remember in Sunday school when Jesus was the right answer to every question? So you've grown, and maybe now it's time to go a bit deeper into your faith. Asking questions and taking the time to find answers is probably the best thing you could do. If you're looking for a challenge and a time to learn more to serve our God better, maybe the School of Ministry at Calvary Albuquerque is right for you. Now accepting applications for the 2013-2014 school year. Find an application at calvaryabq.org/SOM.
Steve-O here, morning show co-host and program director of Static Radio.
Hey, you may not know this, but Static Radio is a nonprofit, listener-supported station. And it's because of you and your financial contributions that we're able to do what we love, playing the latest music, at times engaging in challenging conversations, or just having a good time getting you through your day. Most importantly, though, Static Radio is here to spread the truth of Jesus Christ. If you believe this, please consider joining us this May for Static Spring Bling, where you'll have an opportunity to partner with us financially and help continue to transmit the message of hope found only in Jesus Christ. Or if you'd like to donate now, get to mystaticradio.com. Static Spring Bling, coming in May.
Shock Therapy Live. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Incredible.
Baby lambs.
Pretty awesome, right?
Yeah,
so,
dude.
So, anyways.
That's good.
Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig, hanging out.
If you guys
want
to know what we were just talking about, you'll never know.
Talking about God's restorative work and how awesome he is. And
no,
if
we
you...
weren't. We were talking about other stuff that no one's ever going to know about.
Sorry, you're right. We're talking about Warcraft, even though neither one of us play it anymore.
Man.
So,
I'm so glad I don't play that game
338-3700. You know what? Me too, actually. I really am. I'm really glad.
When's
that was
the last
put
time
the
you
curb.
Played?
Oh, gosh.
Because you kind of had relapses. You had a few relapses. Like,
yeah,
I stopped
but I
playing.
I wasn't a crackhead like
you. I kicked it to the curb, man. Yeah. I got rid of it. And you kind of had relapses.
Yeah. Yeah. You were smoking that World of Warcraft, though. Like, you were always on. You were crazy, spinning bling on, like, playing cards and being a nerd.
I know, but I kicked
never,
it. I
kicked
it cold turkey.
Kicked it
I kicked it cold turkey.
Good job, you. I didn't need to, though. It was just like, you know.
It was just recreational for you?
It was just recreational.
That's what they all say. Yeah, I was only recreationally doing drugs for 4 hours.
Shut up.
4 days a week.
It's been a long time. Months and months and months. I can't remember when. We'll check Battle.net and see when the last time we logged in was. Steve-O and Pastor Nate hanging out with you. It's Shock Therapy Live. As you can tell, this is a more personal show. This is not the theological, hey, can you tell me the meaning of Matthew, this and that? But it is. Hey,
this is not your grandma's show.
There you go. My friend is struggling with this, or I have an addiction to, or I need help with. That's what the show is for. So if you would like to ask a question, you can do so by anonymously emailing us, studio@mystaticradio.com. You can also call us up, 505-338-3700.
Yeah, there's nothing too crazy. You know, ask us what's on your heart. We're not going to hear your question and say, oh, yeah, Jesus doesn't want to talk about that today.
Yeah, pretty unshockable listeners for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, we've gotten a lot of interesting
Some
questions.
Very strange questions.
Yeah, and you know what? We will tackle any and all things.
We might laugh at you, but we'll answer it.
Wow. Yeah. There you go. That'll
hey, we got another question online too. Elspeth's on there. So,
Let's see. Taking it to ya. Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Word.
Hi, it's your non-believer.
Hey, non-believer. You should
Guess
really
what?
Stop, like, making that who you are.
Yeah.
I am because I'm becoming a believer. I actually went to renovations on Thursday, and I went to school church, and oh my gosh, I can't wait to go back.
Yeah. Awesome. Love
yeah.
it.
Dude,
yeah.
God flipped your heart upside down?
Yeah.
You now believe in, cling to, trust in, and rely on Jesus Christ.
God's got my heart in the chokehold.
That's pretty fantastic. Dude, talk us through it, because you have been a regular caller slash questioner of not only your faith, but just kind of life in general. So what did God do in your heart over the last, you know, month or so? What's going on with you?
I don't know. It was, I had a random Thursday off last week, and I just felt it, and I went. And it was one of those things where you feel like you should be there, and I went, and it was just, it was amazing. I could just, like, my whole heart, my body, just, I felt amazing, and it's the right thing for me, so.
Awesome.
Well, all right.
That's good to hear. So what's your question, Elspeth?
So I have, because I've talked to you guys about having depression.
Right.
And I recently was talking to my counselor, and she believes that instead of having depression, I actually have an impulse disorder. My question is, seeing as, like, smoking weed and doing drugs is seen as a sin, if it helps you, because it helps me focus, it helps me calm down, and all of these other things, it makes me actually stop and think about what I'm going to be doing before I do it. Is it still considered a sin if it's stopping you from doing things that are, in a way, worse?
Yeah, here's what the Bible says about that. It says that two wrongs don't make a right. And so doing one thing wrong so you don't do something else wrong doesn't make the thing that was wrong right.
Yeah.
So when we come to Christ, what we do is, you know, in life we find other things that will calm us. We find things like drugs or alcohol that will calm us or things that will fill the void. But the truth is those never fill the void.
Right.
You know, you don't do drugs and then you're good for like a whole week or 2 weeks. You know, eventually there comes a time when you need to do it again to feel that same way. So when we come to Christ, we find something else to fill that void in our life. And that thing is Jesus Christ. As he comes into our lives, he becomes the peace that surpasses all understanding. I want to give you a verse, and it's an incredible verse. I want you to write it down. It's Philippians chapter, what is it? Philippians 4:13? Philippians 4:13.
Yeah.
It says, in everything through prayer and supplication.
I'm thinking of something different.
What am I thinking is? Philippians.
That's two. I'm thinking
Philippians
of
4:19?
The secret to being content in all situations. That's Philippians 4:12. Sorry. We were thinking different things. Yeah.
Hold on one second. It's Philippians 4:7.
There you go.
Philippians
4:7. Just go read Philippians 4.
Yeah, Philippians 4:7. This is what it says, Elspeth, and I think it's perfect for you and your situation. It says, in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God.
Yeah.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And so the beautiful message of this verse is that when we're in a time of life where we're fretting or worrying or we're stressed out or we're dealing with something or tempted, that we can come to the Lord through prayer, through supplication. We can let our requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That means that when the world looks at your life and they see that you have peace, they see that you're happy, that you're content, they can't understand why. It's beyond reason. It's beyond understanding.
Right.
The peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart through Christ Jesus. And that's the best high you can get.
Absolutely.
That's a high that marijuana can't give you. That's a high that alcohol can't give you. And that's something that's permanent. And it comes into your life. And that same feeling that you had when you were at Renovate and probably at Skull Church, where you just left feeling rejuvenated, revitalized, you had that peace. That peace can be a permanent part of a believer's life when they have Christ Jesus dwelling within your heart. When you ask Jesus to come into your life, when you repent of your sin, when you give yourself fully to him, that peace can be a reality within your life.
Yeah.
And every time you feel that way, every time you feel stressed, every time you have those thoughts that you know you shouldn't be thinking or feeling, you can come to the Lord and he's there to intercede on your behalf and give you that peace.
I got to tell you, too, as somebody who probably would have been diagnosed with ADHD as a kid if they had had that back then, I too, very, very impulsive past, very impulsive history, never really thought about consequences. If it felt good or if it was just something that I overwhelmingly felt the desire to do, I would throw myself at it full force and then later think back and go, oh, crap, I probably shouldn't have, you know, done that. But God, as you talk about the Spirit of God, we're not given to a spirit of fear, it says in Scripture, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And there is restorative work through Christ Jesus, and that's not just a heart condition. That is your very essence, your very being, your everything, including your mind. And I think a lot of people forget that because there is some thinking that does come with being a believer. We are called to love God with all of our mind, our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, our everything. And so it is definitely possible through Christ Jesus to overcome those impulsive desires and thoughts, because they can seem to be overwhelming and they can, you know, seem to take over. You also got to remember this, and I'm just going to go practical with you. Smoking weed is still a crime in New Mexico. It's still outlawed and it's still illegal, because I'm waiting for that dude to call in with the medical marijuana question, which we've asked about 1,000 have asked about 1,000 times and answered it about 1,001 times. But so that's not what we're talking about here, because, man, right now in this state, you're doing something flat out illegal. So,
Yeah, and this is what I would just say from a spiritual standpoint. You know, Jesus is supposed to be the one that's supposed to fill that void. He's supposed to be the one that comes in and solves that anxiety in your life. And anytime we take another substance or anything else and we replace Jesus with that, we're making that an idol. We're making that our God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we're letting it do the job that God is supposed to do. But let me tell you something. It can never do as good of a job as God does, and it can never last. It can never continue on. It's only a temporary feeling it's going to fade. So
there you go.
Does that help?
A little bit, yeah.
There you go.
Because awesome. I was also, because I have post-traumatic arthritis, I have all these lovely things wrong with my body, and I don't take pain medication because it makes my stomach very upset. And with the intense pain that I get from the arthritis in my neck, I do smoke because of that, and I see a massage therapist, and that helps. I was going to look into getting a medical card for that reason, and I was also wondering about that.
Yeah. Well, check it out. If you get a medical card, it's a different story. You know, we've answered this question before.
Right.
You know, there's certain drugs that doctors prescribe. You know, for instance, morphine.
Yeah.
If someone just decided, oh, well, morphine's a drug that doctors give me, I'm going to go get a bag of it and let it go into an IV into my arm all night.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a sin because, again, there's substances that are meant for medical purposes, and within the medical profession and the medical field, those things can be beneficial and helpful. But when we take them outside of the medical field and we say, you know what, like for instance, let's say I break my leg and I'm given a bottle of Vicodin and I go home and I say, you know what, I know this is meant for 2 weeks, but I'm going to take it all tonight and just get crazy.
Right.
Okay, that's a sin.
Right.
You know, I'm supposed to take that in accordance with the way the doctor prescribed it. So
absolutely.
If you get a medical card and a doctor prescribes it for medical reasons, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure to do it in the prescribed dosage the doctor gives you.
Absolutely.
You know, don't go home and be like, you know, I just had a really painful day today, so I'm going to take a lot more than I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that, you know, you do it in accordance with how the doctors prescribe it.
Okay.
Does that help?
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thank you. Keep them coming.
Yes.
All right. There you go. And welcome to the family.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. You are listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig. We got another anonymous call on line one. Let's go there. Static.
Hi. Good morning. I just have a situation.
Okay.
So I work at the Holiday Inn Express, and so I work at the front desk, and I've been training somebody for about 2 months now, and she's older than me, like she's in her 60s. And I'm in my early 20s right now, but, you know, I've been trying to train her. She doesn't seem to want to learn from me, and she'll always, you know, go back to the manager and say, hey, how do I do this, or, you know, just kind of making me obsolete and, like, what's the purpose of me trying to train her? So
right.
Her attitude has been totally negative from the beginning. And, you know, I'm a Christian. I go to church. You know, I have a very sensitive spirit. So, you know, certain people, you can kind of feel it and kind of avoid them a little bit. And it's only with her that I have this hard, difficult time. I work with her, you know, for 30 hours, 40 hours a week, and it's just so difficult to work with her.
Right.
And I just want to know if you guys had any suggestions of anything else. I mean, I've tried talking to her. I tried, you know, but it's just, she doesn't want to talk. She's just really negative, and, you know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Try to invite her to bingo.
Stop it right now. I've got a couple things, actually. I immediately thought of Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. It says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Those are non-believers. Making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And that, I mean, so that you may know how you ought to answer this woman, you need to make sure you are always gracious, walking in wisdom toward this outsider.
Now, she's a non-believer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would also say this, as a supervisor, if I had somebody underneath me that I was training up that was supposed to be going through me, and in turn, they just kept going to my supervisor and asking the same questions over and over, I would, first of all, be kind of bummed out if my supervisor did not have my back and say, hey, sorry, this is the person that's training you.
Well, it sounds like that she might not be our supervisor. They might be coworkers.
We're coworkers. We both work at the front desk. We both have the same job title. So, yeah, that's the thing that I was, you know, concerned about, is because, you know, I'm going to my manager and telling him, hey, you know, this is the issues we're having. And, you know, he doesn't seem to do anything about it, right. You know, currently. And it's been going on for 2 months now. And I have been trying, and I do try to have, you know, patience with her and show her things. But, you know, like I said, she's just making it seem like I don't want to learn from you.
Do or do not, there is no try. Stop trying to have patience. Just have it.
Or do not.
Exactly.
There is no try.
Thank you, Yoda. I'm just saying. No, but in all honesty, if she's not, quote unquote, underneath you, if you're not her supervisor and she's, you know, going to her supervisor with these things, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd say the key here is just to be the bigger person, you know?
Absolutely.
Again, don't let it get to you. You know, go in there expecting that she's just gonna learn from you know, your supervisor and that she's just gonna do her thing. And then if it changes, praise the Lord. Yeah. But I would say every time you talk to her, refer to her as ma'am, you know, show her respect.
Yeah.
If she's older than you, you know, show her love, show her honor. And I really believe that if you do that, it'll break down those barriers over time.
Yeah.
And she'll soften up. And if not, you know, you can go to sleep at night not losing any. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, do what God's called you to do.
Colossians chapter 4 and then Philippians chapter 4. Read them both and don't worry about it. Stop being anxious about it because that situation sucks. And there are plenty of, like, mean, wholesome people in the world.
I find bridge will sometimes solve that. If you just say, hey, you know what? You want to just play bridge today? That might soften her up.
You're so...
Yeah. Well, she's like to me, okay, so this is from the workplace perspective, is that she's my coworker.
Right.
So in the beginning I told her, you know, I'm not here right now to be your friend. I'm not here, you know, to be your
buddies,
best friend,
where
chums. We're going to go hang out every day after work.
Well, that's a great way to start a relationship.
So,
hey,
yeah.
Look,
yeah.
I'm not here to be your friend. I just have to train you.
I don't like the way old people smell, so please stay
away. I'm sure
away
that did wonders
you know,
for the first
impression. In the beginning,
impression.
So she was, you know, touchy-feely, you know, already hugging and stuff like that. So, that's not my personality, and I, you know, had addressed it in the beginning. You know,
oh, man.
Is,
no
so
wonder
you,
she's mad
so
at
basically, you.
You
turned her into what she is. She is the fruits of your labor. There you go. Let's be honest. You kind of had to throw down that wall, and now because of it, maybe kind of dealing with it. Because
that puts
she treats everybody the same way. So the only person she gets along with is the manager.
Huh.
But it sounds like she used to get along with you until you told her you didn't want to be her friend.
I know, right? It's kind of what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like. I mean, you're like, oh, at first she was like really nice and huggy, and then I told her, look, I don't want to be your friend. So you know, whatever. And then she's like, oh man, I don't like you anymore. And you're like, hey, why don't you like me? Because you told me you didn't want to be my friend.
And now I'm going to go to the supervisor. That's kind of what it sounds
That's
like.
That's what it sounds like, at least from our perspective.
Yeah, we don't have all the information, obviously. But that's what I heard.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I just figured I'd call in and for a suggestion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there
yeah,
it is.
You know, again, I'd say backtrack. Come back to her and say, look, you know, if I was at all rude to you in the beginning,
yeah.
I'm sorry. That wasn't my intention. You know, I respect you. And if you ever have any questions, anything I can help you with, I'm here. You know, I would try to, cause this is, I can tell you this. If I had someone that told me that, what you told her, I'd be offended. So I don't know if she's offended, but I can personally say I'd be offended if someone told me that. If someone said, hey, I'm not here to be your friend. You know, I'm not here. I would be personally offended by that if someone told
just
me that.
Just got a job to
so,
do. We just got to take care of her job.
So if someone told me that, I would probably not talk to that person and have
okay,
questions
so let
about
me,
them.
Let me ask you this. On the first day you work with somebody and they start asking you some really weird personal questions like where were you born, how many, you know, just to where you're really uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? So like if I first met you and first time ever working with you, I said, hey, are you married? Do you have a wife? How many kids do you have? Where did you meet her? How did you fall in love? And, you know, really intimate personal questions what I was talking about.
If you were a 60-year-old grandmother, I probably wouldn't be freaked out by it.
I was just about to say that.
That's what grandparents do.
Right. I think it's a cultural difference and it's an age difference because I got to do guest worship at a church this weekend and afterwards we all went out to lunch and there was a big group of people and there was a lot of people who I had never met in my entire life. And as we're having lunch, that's exactly what we talked about, actually. They were asking me, oh, have you lived in Albuquerque your whole life? Where were you born? Kids? The whole nine yards. But to me, that's just trying to make friendly conversation. And I guess that's maybe we're just different in that regard. But I mean, you don't have to express when you said deep, intimate things. I'm like, oh, she's going to ask her about her sex life. That's seriously what I thought of. And it was like, oh, where are you from? Oh, I was born in Lubbock, Texas. I moved here to Albuquerque when I was 8 years old. Lived here most of my life. My dad died when I was 6. But I'm an open individual. I guess it's different for me. I wouldn't have put too much stock behind it, especially with that generation, because as someone who I attend a church that's been in the Albuquerque area for almost 51 years now. So we've got the generation gap.
Old.
I know. We've got a generation gap and divide. So we've got the older generation. We've got this next generation that's coming up. And to see the differences in communication, that's all the older generation wants, is to hang out. They just want to get to know you. It's more personal. And this generation is more like, well, I just want to put everything out on Facebook but not have any real communication.
You see this in every relationship between parents and their kids.
Right.
So what did you do at school today? Nothing.
Right.
Well, you know,
what do you want to do
on Sunday? I don't want to do anything with you. I just want to go and hang out with my friends.
Right.
You know, it's this difference in culture and mindset,
I wouldn't put too much creepy stock behind that. It just sounds like an older lady who was just trying to.
And even if she was creepy, you could probably outrun her, so.
Yeah. Dude, greeters at Walmart ask me those questions. So I'm like, whatever. I don't know.
Anyone who's ever been on an airplane sitting next to someone else answers all those questions.
Right. True story. So I hope that helps. We're not meaning to down that or belittle that, but it does seem like you as the believer take that scripture to heart. You know, be gracious. You can be seasoned with salt, you know, as you speak the truth to this person. But it says walk in wisdom and always be gracious. Always be gracious so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And to us, it sounds like this older lady was just – you know, it's a new job. She's probably,
she's just trying to be friendly.
Trying to be friendly and not necessarily get a drinking partner, but like make friendly conversation. I don't know. So I hope that helps.
Okay. Well, thanks for your advice and suggestions.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You guys have a good day.
You too.
Too.
All right. So we're going to take a break. We'll just take one more break. Take a quick break. Heat up the room a little.
Dude. I don't feel bad. It's like, this is the situation. Again, you're meeting someone, a non-believer, for the first time. You know, me and you were working.
Yeah.
Like, hey, so my name's Nate. What's your name?
I don't give out personal information. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you know.
My name tag says Steve. Oh. If you really wanted to know, I don't know why you're asking me.
Okay, well, you know what?
We're obviously going overboard, but to be completely honest, this is how we act. We are so self-centered, and I'm not saying that this person is self-centered necessarily. However, there's this crazy disease going on called self-centeredness, where we don't really want to get to know I had this for years and years and years. Parties, wherever. I really wanted to tell 1,000 stories about myself. Didn't really care about the person next to me, where they were from, what they did, their life story, anything like that, because it was all about me. And, man, we as believers, we have to open ourselves up, especially if we call ourselves followers of Christ.
Yeah.
That's all he did was go out. Hey, where are you from? How you doing? Okay, woman at the well. Hey, I know your entire life story. Imagine if she was the woman on the phone, the response. Wait, you know that I don't have a husband, but that I've had. How do you know my life? What are you? You're some kind of creepy, crazy man. Jesus knew all these things, man, and he hung out, and he was pretty personal.
And you know, this is why we like to hear the whole story because, you know, on initial, it's like, okay, I have this coworker. She's really just mean. She,
I thought of this really mean old lady.
Yeah, I picture this crotchety old lady. And then it's like, well, why is she mean to you? Well, you know, the first day she gave me a hug and I told her I didn't want to be her friend. Oh, okay. Okay, that kind of makes sense.
Right.
You know, whether she's old or young, I think that would be the reaction of anybody.
Right.
You talk to me, try to be my buddy. I'm like, hey, Steve-O, look, I don't want to be your friend. We have to work together.
Look,
I can't help that. We got to work together, but I don't want to be your buddy.
Yeah.
So don't ask me any questions.
Okay. We'll just take a quick break then.
No. And then I'm like, hey, Michelle, why doesn't Steve-O ever ask me for help?
Right.
Why doesn't Steve-O ever ask me questions?
Yeah.
Oh, because I told him not to.
Right. There it is. Dude, great show this morning. We're going to take a final break. Coming right back, we've got a few email questions to get to. But as always, phone conversation is way better because we can kind of discern better the situation at hand when we're able to ask, you know, multiple questions on it.
Yeah.
So there you
shock
go.
Therapy.
There you
get
go.
Get what you pay for.
Right back. Static Radio.
Static Retro Prom. Why move forward when you can regress? We move forward when you can regress. Tickets available now at mystaticradio.com.
Mom! Mom! More macaroni, please! What? I'm 40.
Attention, Bible clubs.
Why do you get the megaphone? Why?
We want to kick it with you.
You have a loud enough voice.
I think we do.
I'm the one that's soft-spoken.
We want to hang out.
I deserve this.
We want to have lunch.
Give me the megaphone. You don't need it.
We want to hang out with you.
Are you kidding me?
We're fun.
Wow.
We're cool. So, Bible clubs.
You gotta be so loud.
Steve-O and Mitch, what's up? We want to hang out with you. We would really like to come to your school and rock some lunch.
And we want to give you tickets to the prom coming up.
And as an incentive, we're going to throw down some tickets to prom.
Yeah, I just said that.
So hit us up through email, studio@mystaticradio.com.
So loud.
And I'll read them and be like, sweet, I got an email.
Okay.
Okay, have at it. Do whatever you're going to do.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, that was so obnoxious.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
Hey, what's up? This is Toby Mack with a challenge for Jesus freaks from the Voice of the Martyrs.
Consider your worst enemy, perhaps someone who hates Christians and would even seek to destroy the church. Don't give up on them. Remember how God chose Saul, a persecutor of Christians, and then transformed him into a passionate, inspiring preacher? The Voice of the Martyrs has identified 7 modern heroes of the faith who were once zealous persecutors. Their stories have been gathered in a book appropriately titled Saul to Paul, From Persecutor to Christ Follower. Sometimes we all need to be reminded of the life-transforming power of the Holy Spirit. For more on Saul to Paul, go online to persecution.com.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Steve-O and Pastor Nate, back at it.
Sorry. I just got done beating up an old person for asking me my name.
Stop it! Welcome back to the
back
show.
Now,
if you'd
though,
like to ask a question, 505-338-3700, the phone number. Got a few minutes left to show.
We
hey,
like
producer,
to party.
We'd like to answer that
we
phone.
We like to party.
Line
we
one's ringing.
Like to party.
Whole lot of line one
we
going.
Like,
all right,
we
you
like
know what?
To
I'm just
going to
answer it. Shock therapy. Okay.
Oh.
Guess they hung up because they were tired of like sitting there like waiting and waiting.
It was probably someone who just called that got finished beating up an old person.
If you'd like to ask
name.
A question, our producer's not on Instagram anymore, so she'll actually answer the phone, Mitch. So that's good. That's good.
Oh,
so,
man.
505-338-3700, the phone number. And, yeah, welcome back to the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Hey,
yeah.
Quick reminder. Today, be checking out Instagram. My Static Radio, that's where you can follow us. Mitch and myself will be out and about, and we'll post a pic of our location. If you can find us in ABQ, hook you up with a pair of prom tickets.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
I know
yeah,
you
Yeah, girl. Uh-huh. Okay, let's answer another email question.
All right, let's go.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, man.
Would you help me know how to get rid of my anger?
Yeah.
We'll try. I try everything. Hitting stuff,
whoa.
Cursing,
all right, this is
talking
real.
To people. Yet I still have it. I wonder why. So what am I missing? I pray about it every day. I punch stuff every day. He doesn't say that. But it still happens.
Please keep me anonymous
please
right
keep
after
me
they
anonymous.
Put his name. I'm like, oh, no, no. Yeah.
Okay, so this guy's really angry. He's tried everything, hitting stuff, cursing, sacrificing animals. He's still mad.
That's okay. And the
what does he do?
We're not being funny. Like that's really what the email says. Hitting stuff, cursing.
He literally says, "This is the words of the sentence." I try everything: hitting stuff, cursing, talking to people.
Like
maybe talk to people.
Out your anger.
Maybe talk to people before you hit and curse stuff, and also never do those three together.
Yeah.
Well, talking to someone, hitting stuff, and cursing—that's bad.
Yeah, anger, man. That's a big one too. That's many a time. How about you try this? Try this. Do a study on that. A biblical study on that. Look up the word anger in Scripture and what God's
right
word
now?
Has to say about it.
Right now.
Every not you.
Oh,
I'm talking to anonymous email because anger comes up in Scripture many a time. But practically speaking, how can this person put off the anger? How can this person rid himself of such things as these? Anger, rage, malice, hitting stuff, cussing,
talking to people.
Practically speaking.
I don't know. You answer that.
Well, this is what I think of because I in turn used to be a bottler upper, and I bottled everything up until like it would explode.
Did you kill someone?
No, I did not. No, I did not. However, I used to get into fights. I was that angry person where it was like I bottled it up. And then I finally realized, oh, cool, open communication. Like, what are you angry about? What is it that is making you angry? Go get back to that root of this anger issue. What is it that inherently makes you angry? Are you cussing because you just screwed up on Tiger Woods and you want to throw the controller through the television?
Stop playing Tiger Woods.
Maybe stop playing Tiger Woods.
He's an angry guy, too. What do you think?
So I've heard. So, you know, you got to get down to the root of it, and unfortunately, it's not there. It just says my anger. So, where's the anger coming from? There's a root source of it, and obviously, we know it is sin. There's a deep seated something inside of you. For me, if I'm being blunt about it, it was my dad. My dad died when I was six, very foolishly, and it was something that I carried with me, and I still do carry with me. I just carry it differently, and it was something that I did actually have to seek pastoral help on. And
there's something that comes with maturity, and it's called restraint. And that means that in the moment where you're really angry and you're fuming, instead of hitting stuff, cursing and talking to people, you hold it in for a little bit. You know, you have a restraint and you realize, yes, I'm mad and I can't deal with it properly at this place and this time. So I'm going to have restraint and then I'm going to go seek the Lord. Whatever time that is, whether that's at the end of the day because you're at work and you can't leave until the end of the day, whether that's 15 minutes from that point, but you say, you know what? I'm going to restrain myself now and then I'm going to go to the Lord with this later and say, Lord, you know, help me with this. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. What's probably going to happen is you're going to restrain yourself and 10 minutes later, you're going to be fine. That's what's going to happen because it sounds to me like the anger you're having isn't deep-seated emotion, like this crazy anger. It sounds to me like you stubbed your toe, you get pissed off, and you're blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. You know, it sounds like it's more like one of those things. So if you restrain yourself, I bet that within 10, 15 minutes, that anger will subside, and you won't be cursing and hitting stuff.
Yeah.
And your knuckles won't be bloody.
And you know what is also good? Pastor Levi said this, that you prepare for the battle before it happens. So prepare yourself now. Jump into the Word now. Dig in, as I said, that word study on anger. Find different ways in Scripture. Seek God on what His thoughts and opinions are of it so that you are in a right understanding of what God thinks and feels about this emotion that is controlling you right now.
Yeah, and I would just end with this. The Bible says, be angry and do not sin.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with getting mad.
Right.
Nothing wrong with getting angry, but it sounds to me like the things that you've been trying are the exact things you shouldn't be doing.
Hitting
the things you are trying, hitting things and cursing, are not the things that you should be doing.
Yeah.
So when you get angry, don't do those things. Instead, go to God. You know, spend some time in prayer, spend some time in worship, and then, you know, talking to people, that thing is good. So, you know, go to God and then go to someone. That someone should be an accountability partner. You can say, hey, I'm really, really, really mad. You know, I just lost in this level on my Game Boy and it's really frustrating me. Please pray for me. Whatever it is that's causing that anger, you know, go to God, and then go to a friend. And, you know, I bet that when you show some restraint, things will get better.
If you have a youth pastor, somebody that you look up to in leadership, I would definitely present that to them, because they can help you there as well. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. We have a little less than a minute. You want to try and hit up?
I don't know. I think we can probably read it in a minute.
Okay.
Do you want to try to do it?
Do you want me to read it fast?
Okay, go.
I've got fast reading.
Go.
I'm a fairly new Christian. I've believed in God all my life, but only recently became a Christian. And in becoming a Christian, I've turned from my sin, but on Monday I was hit by a revelation. I caught myself sinning in a sin that a lot of people overlook. I deleted a program on my computer that was allowing me to download copyrighted music, including music, movies, and themselves.
Thief.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in order to be saved, you must turn from your sin. That doesn't necessarily mean any sin sends you to hell, but habitual sin should cease.
Yes.
Should I rebuke my parents and friends who continue to use this program, saying it's just sinful, or on the grounds that they have never had salvation because it is a habitual sin? Thank you, guys. In a simple way to put it, how far does the sanctification go in habitual sin?
All the way.
Right, go.
You know, again, sanctification is the continual process whereby a believer is consistently and constantly giving their life over to God. You can't just come forward, say a prayer, and say, hey, great, everything's great, I can go live how I want. If you're truly saved, you're going to see the practical outworking of salvation in your life. As a Christian, you'll never reach a plateau and get to a place where you stop growing. If you stop growing, you're going backwards. So start growing, get rid of sin, continually take part in the sanctification process, and let God have the reins.
If your parents aren't believers and your friends aren't believers that are using this quote-unquote program to rip and burn DVDs, I don't know, you can approach it on the illegal level. Don't take it to the you're a sinner level.
Yeah.
Maybe how about practically talk about it as it's illegal.
Yeah,
especially, it is!
Especially when you tell your parents, hey, you shouldn't do this. Like, hey, you're the one who showed us this program. Probably not a good thing.
Right. There you go. Hope that helped in 60 seconds or less. That is Shock Therapy Live.
Woo! Boom! Man, I missed it.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.